This is It Could Happen Here, a podcast that I opened perfectly as a professional, as a man who makes all of his money from podcasts.
No notes.
Kaveh, yes. How's syphilis doing these days? You don't hear a lot from syphilis. Is it holding up okay?
Yeah, it's around. It's fine. Thank you for asking.
Good. I'm glad to know that.
It's not the same threat it used to be. It comes back in waves every now and then.
That's good.
It had a good run for a couple
of
years.
It's kind of like
recently.
Star Trek, right?
Yeah, there's a
kind of comes in and out.
Well, I don't think there's like new versions of it. I think it's like the same good old syphilis, pretty much. I don't think it changes drastically.
So it's like Star Trek on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear from syphilis. This has been your syphilis update. That's going to do it for us this week. Until next week, I've been Robert Evans, Dr. Kaveh Hoda, and of course, Garrison Davis. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
No. That's not it.
It would be pretty funny to just do that, Sophie, to just drop a 1.5 minute episode on syphilis.
But only if we put in 15 ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really, like every word, we have a full ad break in between.
Yeah, then people would probably complain less about the 900 ads that are in our episodes right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about syphilis.
What are we doing right now? What is this episode about? Kaveh, what's going on?
I'm assuming you guys want to talk about the coronavirus, or I don't know. I could talk about whatever you want, but I think that's probably what you guys brought me on for.
All right. What is this coronavirus? Is this a problem?
It's a little problem.
Okay. that's not good to hear.
It's not great.
Sophie, why didn't you give me a heads up on this?
Oh, yeah. That's me not giving you a heads up on the plague. The thing we've been talking about.
I didn't hear anything about this.
Okay.
Is this why all the masks?
Yeah,
this is the mask thing.
That's why you got those two jabs in your arms in that random parking lot.
Oh, I thought that was heroin.
Sorry to disappoint.
First of all, can we talk about the use of the word jab? I don't love it. It's mm-hmm. I mean, you're not James Bond. You don't. Let's not use jab.
Yeah, I prefer
that's fair.
The term.
That's fair.
I prefer what I think is the proper medical term: vein fucked.
Yeah.
But it's not really your vein either. It's really just intramuscular fucked.
Oh, right. Muscle fucked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the cool kids calling it? Is it a poke? What do we want to call it?
Yeah, Garrison, what do the teens call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it, are they calling it the TikToks?
Yeah, it's called the TikTok. I don't know. I've been working on this all day today to find this proud boy who's pretending to take COVID vaccines, but it's actually steroids. And he calls them
critical support.
He calls them extracurriculars.
Okay.
So
that honestly rules. That's extremely funny.
I'm hoping an article will be out by the time this podcast airs. So,
who's the article for?
I'm not sure yet. I'm talking with Opossum Press.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, that's funny. Garrison, what is today's episode about?
We wanted to talk to Kaveh about both what the current plague situation is, because a lot of people seem to think it's over, a lot of people seem to think it's not over, and then also how is COVID and all the stuff still affecting our hospital and medical system? Is there supply shortages for medical supplies? What's going on in different areas?
Staffing.
Yeah, because all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yes is the answer.
Yes is the answer.
it's the answer. It's still a problem. I don't think, don't listen to anyone who tells you that it's not. Don't listen to anyone who gives you too sunny a forecast on it. But it, you know, it's different in different places is the long and the short of it.
Okay.
In places where the vaccinations are higher and where there's mandates and there's reasonable laws about things, the rates are going down.
Shout out
in
California. Places,
California, but also like Rhode Island, Maine, mm-hmm. Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont. These are places with high vaccination rates. The rates of cases are going down in those places. Places like Mississippi, West Virginia, Idaho, Alabama. These are places where like it's 40 to 49% vaccination rates and the cases are going way up. You guys might have heard of a couple of things happening. Like there was that 46-year-old guy named Daniel Wilkinson. He's like a vet who developed something called gallstone pancreatitis, which I could talk to you guys about for hours. Mm-hmm. But I won't. Don't worry. But okay. I could. I'm just letting you know I could. I
and
won't.
There's I mean, in Idaho, they just declared it's not a total DNR, but like anyone who has cardiac arrest is on a DNR now in Idaho because they just don't have the resources to be.
Well, that's not entirely. I mean, that's,
okay. So that, what did I get wrong there? Yeah.
Okay. So that's not your fault that you got it wrong, because there were doctors that were sort of spreading that story about. Now, they are in what's called the crisis standard of care, but and part of that means that hospitals could go to putting everyone on DNR, which means do not resuscitate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Which means if you have a cardiac arrest, they won't do anything about it. That's not what's actually happening. It could happen. When they institute this crisis standard of care, what it means is that if a hospital gets so short on their ventilators and they just don't have any more room, then they could implement that. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard of anyone. I was asking around to see if any doctors in Idaho could tell me of a hospital that's actually doing it. I haven't seen or heard of one that's actually doing it yet, but they could. The point is, it's that bad.
Yeah.
Where that's a reasonable discussion where doctors have to discuss, kind of like they were back in the day in New York, where they have to be like, okay, does this person, do we put the, you know, the young lady on the ventilator or the old guy? You know, then we have to decide, and they make those decisions. It's really awful. It's a position no doctor wants to be in, and now that's becoming a reality. It's brutal. It's brutal out there, and
right.
And that's bleeding into other states nearby. You know, so
is that what you mean by the Wilkerson situation? Because his doctor like couldn't find an ICU bed for him. Is that the story you're talking about?
That's the story. So he was this guy who had a problem that can be fixed. I mean, it's a procedure called an ERCP that he can get done at specialty centers, and he didn't live far from Houston. Mm-hmm. And Houston has plenty of those specialty centers that can do it. They have great gastroenterologists like myself, not as good, but you know, same sort of thing. And they could do it if they had the availability to get him in, but they didn't. And so he died of something that he shouldn't have. Is basically that example. And I'm sure there's more examples of that. And what really worries me is the examples that you're not hearing yet. Like cases that are delayed now, cancer screening things that are being delayed now in these hospitals that we're going to be paying down the road. That's the shit that really scares me.
Great.
And like just people not going in for things in general too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have friends other than you who work in ERs and stuff, nurses and a doctor. And
bullshit.
It's up in the P&W. But the shit they're saying is like in today's crap. They are working on like building capacity and making sure they have things to like treat their friends, because the advice is do not go to the hospital. Like if at all possible, like, cause there's just not capacity for you unless it's like literally an immediate life and death thing. It's almost not worth like trying, because there's just nothing. There's no slack. The system is, and it's starting to turn, it looks like, here in the Portland area, but like it's frightening. Like these are not people who would be bullshitting or are prone to panic. You know, they're ER professionals, but it's fucked up. Like it's this thing where like the scary thing to me is not even necessarily where we are right now, because it does, like, there is some kind of broadly positive news in a lot of areas about like where the pandemic is going. It's just like this situation won't be fixed when case numbers go down. It's going to be permanent damage has been done to the system. And I guess what I'm wondering, first off, like from what you're seeing, like what is the extent of the permanent damage done to our emergency medical system in particular, and our ability to even like get care at the moment?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know. It kind of goes back to, I think, what Garrison wanted to talk about, which is like the collapse of the medical system. I think we talk about it a lot in terms of we're on the edge of collapse, we're near collapse. I think there are places in this country where it already has collapsed. I think that's pretty evident. It's not homogeneous in any way across this country. There are certainly places that are better than others. And there's certainly places that have a lot more leeway and flexibility. But everywhere is strained right now. And in regards to your question about permanent damage, I'll answer that in regards to just the personnel. You know, because of the show that I have, The House of Pod, follow us at Twitter at The House of Pod, And I talked to a lot of doctors and nurses from all over the country. I talked to them a lot, and it's bad. I mean, the stress that they're under, the PTSD that they're dealing with, the burnout, the level of burnout is just intense. It's intense. And it's, I think we were talking about moral injury and burnout before all this started. And now it is to a point where I don't know what's going to happen to the medical system, just in terms of the personnel when this is all over. I know a lot of people who are getting out of medicine, getting out of clinical medicine. I mean, out of like, I would say out of just my immediate friend group, I can think of a couple offhand, excellent doctors, really great ICU, ER doctors who are already planning their exit. And when, I don't know, I mean, in the next coming years, that's going to be a major issue. And I don't know how we're going to address that. And our nurses in the ICUs, man, the stuff they have to put up with is insane. You just see it in their eyes. Their eyes are broken. Like I volunteered on the wards a couple of weeks ago. And the doctors and the nurses taking care of these COVID patients day in, day out, like there's like a little bit of their soul that's been broken.
Yeah.
You can just see it in their eyes. Like I was there for like just a week and it's terrifying. You know, you're going into a room with a patient with COVID. It's scary. You know, even no matter how much PPE protective equipment you have on, like you're always a little scared. And I just think years of that, that weighs on a person in a way I am worried about it. I don't know how we're going to address that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because, like, from the perspective of people listening, right, the thing you want to ask is, like, well, how can I help? And it's like, well, you can't because you're already, if you're listening to the show, I assume you're masking. I assume you've gotten vaccinated if you don't have, like, a condition that renders you unable to get the vaccine. I think our listeners tend to be pretty responsible people. It's just not enough because 30 to 40% of the country decided to, like, Leroy Jenkins a plague. And,
God.
Garrison, do you know that reference? Is that
do you get that reference, Garrison?
I'm familiar with Leroy Jenkins.
That's good. Okay. That's good. Were you born when Leroy Jenkins became a thing?
I don't know.
You would have been like 3.
I would have been young. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Deadpool that brought him to your attention, isn't it?
No. It came to my attention just doing general internet nonsense.
Yeah, it was the first meme that you could show your parents, pretty much. I guess there were like Badger Mushroom, a couple of others in that category, but like it was one of the first memes that wasn't a man's gaping asshole prolapsed.
But I showed my parents that all the time. I don't know.
Oh,
what you're
talking
about.
Yeah. There was a beautiful moment back in the day when somebody goat-seed a stadium.
Yeah.
It's what brought you into medicine.
This is what I saw at work. They were so proud of me. They're like, look at our son. Look at our boy.
Look at our boy. He can tell us exactly why that man's asshole looks that way.
You have a weird job.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of my questions is, with the assumption that people are taking the actual plague-related steps they can to reduce their burden to the medical system, what can people realistically do? I mean, I think part of that is, and this is, and I'm not going to have you to like explain how you can take care of your own medical treatments in an emergency on a podcast. That's not the time or the place. Although I do think it's probably a good idea for people to read up on first aid and basic life-saving emergency. Like, it's always a good idea to have some training there. But yeah, I mean, do you have other advice?
You know, you're exactly right. The people that are listening to this podcast are totally on board already, and they're super supportive, and we appreciate that. I mean, that is not unnoticed. I mean, you know, having people like outside the hospitals every now and then applauding doctors. I know it's cheesy, but it's great. I'll take that over the Blue Angels flying overhead any day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that stuff is really important, and masking and taking care of themselves is great. You know, the real practical things that people can do, I think, is help contribute to sites that will help get the rest of the world vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can definitely talk about that, the question of boosters here versus, you know, vaccines for the first time elsewhere. But that's the one thing I would recommend right now. If you want to help, let's put our money into places where we can get vaccines to other places. And I think that every little bit of that helps in the long run. And that's the sort of thing that we could use. Other than that, I mean, I just hope that people are still going into medicine and in nursing. You know, I that's the only thing I can still hope, is that people who have an interest in it, you know, continue to do it. And for those people who are just, their training, those years of their formative years or during this time, I just want to let them know, I swear it gets better. It's not always going to be like this. And if you make it through this, you're going to be an amazing clinician. You're going to be an amazing nurse. You're going to be an amazing doctor. And I really want you guys to keep doing it. That's one thing I would say too.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll certainly add that if you're someone who's contemplating a medical career, please. I mean, just from there's a couple of things on that, like just from a perspective of what the world needs, it's what the world needs. But also, if you're listening to the stuff we're saying about the crumbles, about the possibility of the collapse, if you're someone who foresees things getting potentially much more difficult in the future, not a lot of things more useful in a bad situation than somebody with medical training.
I do count on that to getting me through the apocalypse.
Yeah.
I'm soft. I am so soft. Mm-hmm. I went camping and I couldn't handle it. A couple weeks ago, I went camping. It was awful. Mm. There was so much dust. It was an awful experience. But I just thought, if the apocalypse comes, I will hopefully get placed in a very nice tent because I'm a doctor. So I'm counting on that to get me through.
There are so many dumbass boogaloo type, quote unquote, preppers who focus on the guns and the gear and the dried food, but
and the throwing, you know, knives and the shurikens.
And the throwing knives, but don't even have an IFAC, an individual first aid kit, or like a tourniquet. And like talk to this is a little off topic, but like talk to combat Marines about like their favorite person. It's always the corpsman. It's the guy who knows, or the lady who knows, mm-hmm. how to like patch a bullet wound and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing more useful in any situation, pretty much, that is dangerous than somebody who can do medicine. So please, if you're studying to do medicine, if you're contemplating becoming an EMT or a paramedic or a nurse or whatever, good God, we need you so badly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about just kind of the medical system in general, and then we can also kind of discuss more stuff related to how COVID's impacting certain areas more than others. And like, let's say someone who's listening, who's in one of these areas that has only 40% vaccinated, you know, not a lot of people are going around with masks on, and, you know, schools starting back up, maybe they have kids who are going to their school system. I know in Texas, they have, you know, child deaths are rising. That sounds very frightening to be that kind of person who, like, you know, would like to see that stuff happen in their state, but it's just not really possible. And I don't know, with so much of the rest of the world kind of slowly taking back restrictions, I'm sure it feels very jarring to be in a situation like that. And kind of like there's really nothing you can do, right? Besides, right? Because you can talk to your family, you can talk to your friends. But like overall, it's hard to hard to make, you know, a big impact in a state, you know, like Texas, Alabama, like Idaho, all the ones that you were mentioning before. From a medical kind of perspective, Is there any way people can kind of start to talk about those things with their family? And because the way we've been trying to get people to take the vaccine with the marketing we've been doing has not been super successful in these demographics. Do you think there's other like conversations that can get people to slowly kind of be more able to, you know, contemplate that?
Yeah, that's a tough question. It's particularly tough if you're someone who believes in the importance of vaccines and or the importance of masks and that sort of thing, and you're in a place where you're a minority. That is tough. The first thing I'll say is definitely know that the vaccine helps. You're in a much better position, mm-hmm. because of the vaccine. When I was on the wards and I was looking at patients, they're almost all unvaccinated. And those are the people that end up in the hospital. Hmm. You can still get into you're hospitalized if you have the vaccine, but it's much less likely. And, you know, not that these people don't count, they count just as much. But if you don't have an underlying problem like a liver transplant or some immunosuppression, then you're less likely to have a really bad outcome with COVID if you're vaccinated. So just know that it helps. You still might get it. It'll suck. But for the most part, you're going to stay out of the hospital. And that really, I think, is something to have a little comfort in. It really does seem to work. You know, outside of that, the schools thing is a real concern for me. And I'm going to feel a lot better. And we're going to be in a much better position once we are able to get kids vaccinated.
Yeah.
And so there's two things. You guys probably heard that there was this committee that met to advise the FDA about booster shots.
Yeah.
That's one thing. So booster shots are going to go out to people who need them, 65 and older, people at high risk, people in high risk occupations. They're going to, like, frontline workers. So there's going to be booster shots coming out. And then the data is coming out now about 5 to 11 year olds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's pretty promising. It looks like they're going to do okay with lower doses. So they use about 1/3 the dose of the vaccine that the adults get. And it seems to work. We haven't seen much other than the pre-press release from Pfizer. But you know, if you really pick at it, it looks promising. So I am, that's something that makes me hopeful. That's something I'm definitely clinging to. I think there's no way we're getting out of this without vaccinating kids. That just has to happen.
Yeah.
I think once that starts rolling out, and hopefully it will soon. I mean, I don't want to put a date on it, but I'm hoping within the next couple months this starts happening. So, you know, once that starts happening, I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable. I think people in those situations are going to feel a lot more comfortable too.
Yeah.
The booster thing is an interesting question to me. I mean,
yeah, from an ethical standpoint, particularly.
You know, I think it's not a fair narrative to say it has to be one or the other. And I think people are saying that. I think we can do it. I think we can produce enough vaccine here for people who haven't got it yet, and enough for the boosters, and start supplying more to the world. I mean, we can do more. Our government Pfizer and Moderna definitely need to do more in that regards. They definitely need to do more in terms of production. They haven't hit their goals in a lot of these places. But it's also not like they haven't done anything yet. They gave about 200 million doses are being donated just this week, I think. So they are doing things. It's happening. It's just we need more of it. We need more of it. We need to ramp up production.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, you're right. We could produce enough vaccines for the places that don't have them and enough vaccines for boosters over here. And all it would take is a couple of months of our Afghanistan mad money. But we're not going to do that. And so it probably will, like, I don't know, contribute to an issue of there's a chance that it will contribute to an issue of vaccine unavailability. But also, it's not like if we don't get the boosters, those vaccines will be available because we're just not giving them out.
Yeah.
In the extent that we need. So I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I'll get the booster if they decide to give out boosters because I like not having
not
permanent
dying of the plague
damage due to
COVID.
Or
getting long COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems great.
You know, a lot of the vaccine hesitancy kind of tracks back to how we've been marketing it. And I've been on the team that's like, we should stop using Fauci because every time Fauci goes on TV to talk about vaccines, more people are going to do like a backfire effect. You'd be like, no, I'm not going to get it because I don't trust Fauci. So there's a particular like marketing thing that I think we've failed on. Like America is very good at marketing when we can make money, but when it's not related to gaining more profit, I think the government's very bad at marketing these types of things. And on the kind of the marketing side of things, I don't know, this is kind of old news at this point, but the whole swollen testicles thing, which you have not talked about on this show about, but I'm sure you have thoughts about how this thing has kind of ballooned, which is that can be
like the testicles,
like the testicles, exactly.
Yeah.
So how the marketing and misinformation relates to this whole kind of current problem?
Yeah. First of all, that particular story, I mean, that's hilarious. I mean, like this, I've never seen someone's excuse for venereal disease become such an international issue.
Yeah, contribute to the deaths probably of hundreds of people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's the marketing thing is a really great question, and it's been driving me crazy because, like, part of me at this point just wants to be like, get the fucking vaccine. What the fuck's wrong with you? Get the fucking vaccine. Pardon my language. And, like, but then the part of me knows that that doesn't work. Like,
right.
I do believe doctors should be able to express their frustration.
Yeah.
They need to be able to do that. If we can't do that right now, I mean, it's game over. They need to at least have that ability where doctors can voice their frustration with anti-vaxxers, but still give them the same high level of care that we're always going to give them no matter what when they show up in the hospital. But it's not working to do that. We need other approaches. I don't entirely know what they are. There are some people, they're so far out there that we're just never going to reach. The people, sure. The microchip people, there's like a level of deprogramming that will need to happen to those people that we just, it's too exhausting to do that. You really have to like, you can't scale that in any meaningful way for the country.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I think calling it the Trump vaccine was the closest we got to having that be a possibility.
I'm interested in your thoughts on the fucking Breitbart article. And if you're not aware, you're less online than us, and God bless you if you are, Breitbart, which is, I don't know, CNN for fascists, came up with an article blaming the Democrats for the fact that Republicans don't want to take the vaccine and saying it's a secret liberal plot to exterminate conservatives because conservatives refuse to take vaccines because they're fundamentally oppositional defiant. And like it's the fault of people who are telling them to take the vaccine that they're not taking the vaccine because obviously, why would you trust a liberal on anything?
Reverse
but also, they're
psychology.
Trying to kill us and we're going to lose the election because we're all dying because we refuse to get vaccinated for a preventable disease. Anyway, how do you feel about that comment?
I don't love it. I don't love it. I'm vaguely familiar with Breitbart. I don't know that exact article because I have enough pain in my life already.
Sure.
Fair enough.
But you know, I do wonder, it's like, when they put out articles like this, or when Tucker Carlson goes out and he does his thing questioning vaccine, just asking questions about vaccines that lead to vaccine hesitancy, like, what calculations are they doing? Are they doing is this just him being callous and not giving a fuck and just doing it? Or is there some calculation that him and some sort of right-wing think tank are doing where they're like, hey, look, this sells to our audience. They love it. Let's keep doing it. Yes, we are going to lose X portion of our audience because of this, but we still have plenty of audience left. Like, I wonder how that's happening. Like, it is hurting. It is true. It is hurting them more than other people. It's hurting everyone. Everyone's getting affected by this. But it's those states that are being affected, the people not getting vaccinated who are listening to people like Tucker Carlson. So I don't understand what their end game is here. Like, this is their market. Why not protect it? And that I do not have a good answer for. I was hoping one of you guys would.
You know, there's a lot going on there. I think a decent chunk of it is the assumption that whatever they lose in terms of dead followers won't be worth more than continuing the cash bonanza that is owning the libs. Right. Because that's the entirety of the right wing media. It's just owning the libs. It's just oppositional defiant. It's just hating anything Democrats do. So you kind of can't. You're a cuck if you tell people to receive basic medical care if Democrats are taking that basic medical care. Right. So it's a pride thing for a lot of them.
Two things I love is when you use the word cuck. Or when you do Ben Shapiro's voice. Like, those are like two of my favorite things that you do.
It's,
you say it really well.
Far beyond anything rational on the right. And it's difficult to, like, I think the calculation is just like, I think a lot of these guys, it's the same thing with climate change. Like, they're smart enough to know that they're contributing to an uninhabitable world, but they want to cash in first. They want to get as much as they can out before it falls apart. And I think that's all any of these people care about, because I think there are the true believers. The radio guys are true believers, right? The radio guys who keep dying because they don't get vaccinated. Right. Those guys did believe that it was some sort of weird conspiracy. It was the communists, whatever.
Yeah.
Clearly, because they died.
Mid-management level.
Yeah.
Mid-management level. They don't know all the stuff that they're being told from above, and they kind of believe it enough to where they kill themselves for the company.
I think for Tucker, it's more a matter of like, hey, I keep making money and I maintain my power if I continue to hold this line. You lose power, you get weaker. It's like when Trump got booed for telling people to take the fucking vaccine, you know?
Yeah. Crazy.
You can't go back with this shit. You just can't. And you certainly can't admit to ever having been wrong.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's good shit.
What a fun note to end the episode on.
What a good society we've built.
Love us.
Oh, my God. Bravo.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kava, people can find you by looking up the House of Pod.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was slightly less depressing, but not super uplifting either at this point. Follow us at the House of Pod at Twitter, and you can listen to our podcast pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll talk about medical type things, but not so deep into the woods that it's not entertaining, I hope.
Fuck
the woods. We have fun guests ranging from the world's best medical experts to, you know, you guys.
People you're like all, us. The not world's the best show. Medical experts, yeah.
You guys are right up there.
Oh, no, let me tell you, for medicine, right, there's no better medicine than just a big fat pile of cocaine. And the good thing about cocaine is it's a sterilizing agent. So if you're worried about COVID getting in your nasal passages, just rail cocaine before you and after you go into the store. It's like getting a COVID test, but more fun.
Legally, I have to tell you that's false.
Well, we all have our opinions about how cocaine works.
Well, you have your facts, and I have my facts.
I have my facts. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go pick up a single item at the grocery store.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.